All right, let's open with the word of prayer this morning. I'm so excited about teaching this lesson. I need about, at least 6 hours to teach this lesson. Not that I would be long-winded or anything, but let's open with the word of prayer. Our Father, we pause before we jump into your word this morning, and we just ask you to quieten our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you will give us attentive ears. I thank you for every woman here today, for her family, for her world of influence. And I pray that you'll take this lesson today and use it in our lives to equip us and to make us to be women who follow you, women who are effective in their worlds. And we just are looking to you this morning that you will say something to us through your word that has our name on it this morning. And so I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Melinda, Bill, shut those doors when you leave. I'm telling. I knew he was going to say that. You know, when you've been married that long, I knew exactly what he was going to say. We can read each other's minds. Now, our lesson last week was on spiritual gifts, and it is just one of my very favorite subjects. And as I've been studying God's Word for over 40 years now, diligently, I would just have to say there are many subjects that the Christian really needs to understand. You know, you get saved, and then you grow, you learn. And as you learn things, then you become better equipped. And one of the most important things for us to understand as Christian women is how the body works. And so we talked last week about the body, that we're one. Remember, there's unity, yet there's tremendous diversity. And it all is fits together as we are walking in harmony with each other. And so today we're going to look even more intently at the diversity part, because you know, each one of us is a spiritual snowflake. And so we each need it. God's brought each of us to this local body, and he wants to use you. He wants to use me. It's not that Brother Greg is the whole body and we just sit and be ministered to. No, he is the equipper. Your teachers are the equippers, and then you're to be equipped that the body does the work. And so we need to understand this this subject of spiritual gifts. I didn't understand spiritual gifts until probably about 35 years ago when I first started teaching Bible study. And I started out by teaching precept. Well, you have to go be trained if you're going to be a precept Bible teacher. And so, you know, I was green as all get out, didn't know much of anything, and went up to Chattanooga to get trained. And the first thing they did was to talk about spiritual gifts, because they don't want any precept teachers teaching their Bible studies unless they have a speaking gift. And so, you know, I thought, well, I don't know if I have a speaking gift or not. And so they start off by just teaching on the subject of spiritual gifts. Well, that was an eye-opening study for me, to learn that I had a speaking gift. And that was exciting. Because, you know, somebody would say, Tracy, I want you to lead Bible study. Well, why should you lead the Bible study? Why should you do it? I mean, you feel like, well, I don't know if I can do it. Well, if you understand your spiritual gift, your answer is yes. That's how God's put me in the body. That's what God wants to use me for. And so it's not that I think I'm hot stuff and I'm going to be the teacher. No, it's because God has placed me in the body, and he's the one that gets all the glory. If you're edified and built up through my gift, God gets all the glory because it's of him. We're going to see that in just a minute. But here's another thing about spiritual gifts. It helps us to care for each other and appreciate each other. It helped my marriage. Now, I have a speaking gift. My husband has a serving gift. And those are the two main categories. Now, if you have a speaking gift, Your passion is going to be, you want to read, you want to study, you're always looking for information to share when you're speaking, and it takes a lot of private time to get alone and to pray and to study and to formulate your plans, your studies. And I spend hours getting ready to teach. This is one lesson in Sunday school. And you know what? I love it. And there's nothing I would rather do than study and get a lesson together and then bring it up here to you and teach you. But you know, when Bill and I were married, he just didn't have that passion. And I thought, well, he's just not very spiritual. And he needs to study his Bible more. And I would just judge him. And, you know, I would even read to him, now, Bill, you need to listen to this. And I would read something, and then I'd say, now, why don't you go do that Bible study? I was always trying to get him to, you know, but he was too busy. He's got the spiritual gift of leadership. And the leader is always out there. He's meeting, he's making plans, he's formulating. He's got a different gift. When I understood what his gift was and what my gift was, it helped our marriage. I quit judging him. I quit trying to make him be me. And sometimes we think, well, we've got the whole deal and everybody needs to be just like us. Not so. You see, the body is going to have complete different diversity. And I just had to tell Bill, I'm sorry, but I love his spiritual gift. I depend on it so much, and then I learned to have a deep appreciation for his gift. And so this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about, and I just wanted to start out with that example. And like I said, I really could spend, months of Sundays, and it's really frustrating for me to have to just give you one little lesson on spiritual gifts, but I'm going to do my best. So just know this morning there's a lot more that can be said on this subject, but I hope I can give you an overview that will give you a general sense of spiritual gifts. And if you didn't do your homework, I want you to do it. Now we're going to be in 1 Corinthians first. There are four major places in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 deal with the subject of spiritual gifts. Romans 12 deals with the subject of spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. But the major two books that deal with spiritual gifts, the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Romans, and Paul wrote both of those books. And so look at verse 1 there. 1 Corinthians 12. And now Paul is going to start another subject with them. And by the way, the whole book of 1 Corinthians was a very carnal church. They were saved, but yet they were operating in the flesh, and they needed a lot of instruction, and they were messing up in so many areas. And so Paul writes 1 Corinthians to them, and he takes one subject at the time. And he says, now concerning this, let me give you instruction. Now concerning this, let me straighten you out. And it's just one subject after another. And when you come to chapter 12, look at verse 1. Paul's going to say, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. I love how King James says it. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. That's a funny word. You're just ignorant. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. And we don't want to be uninformed either, do we? And now he's going to give detailed information that they need all about spiritual gifts. And I believe that we find the best definition of a spiritual gift right here in this chapter in verse 7. And I'm just going to hop around because I can't teach the whole chapter. Look at verse 7 with me on your handout. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Look at that verse again. But to how many? How many? Each one. Each one. To each one is given something. What is it called here? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And it's given to you for a purpose. Look at it. For the common good. For the good of the whole body. Let's write down some facts. A spiritual gift is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit at work in and through a person's life for the common good of the body of Christ. Now, I like this definition. And here's the second point. It's not that a spiritual gift is a thing, like leadership or teaching. No, it is a person. Who is that person? It's the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift is given to how many Christians? Every Christian. And that's what I want you to see. Now, all of our lessons have really been building on each other as we've been studying and walking through our Foundations of the Faith workbook. And remember, we had the lesson on salvation. Well, you know, it told us then, that's when we got the Holy Spirit, at salvation. And so when you got saved, He entered you. He lives in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the gift. It's not that you get saved and then way down the road sometime you get your spiritual gift. It's given that to you at some other point. No, you get the gift immediately. He's in you. Now you're a baby. You've got to learn to walk and talk and grow. And so he comes in you. And then as you grow in your faith, He begins to manifest Himself in your life uniquely. Let's go to verse 4 through 6 on your handout. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Listen, did you realize the whole Trinity is involved in your spiritual gifting? The whole Trinity. Look at it there in those verses. Let's write it down. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the gift. He decides what it is you're going to do. Why am I a teacher? It's not because I decided, well, I think I'll be the teacher. It's because that's the gift the Holy Spirit gave me. You see. And He's giving you a gift. The Spirit decides what gift you give. And then notice the second member of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus. He's the one that gives the ministry. You see, there are just a thousand different ways for you to minister. And what you'll notice as you get born again, the Spirit comes in. He's deciding how He wants to manifest in you. And then this way will just open up for you. You know, you'll say, well, there's an opportunity. I think I'll do that. And as you walk through that door, you're finding what your spiritual gifting is. You don't have to sit around and wait for the letter to come in the mail. Just start serving. And God will make it plain to you. The Lord will give you ministry opportunities. I wish we had time to sit around the table and talk through this in a practical way. I see this happening in our class all the time. Women just being in a place in life and they see an opportunity. And you know what they do? They just walk in that opportunity. And it's their spiritual gifting. It's how the manifestation of the Spirit is coming in their life. Don't worry if you can't label it. It doesn't really matter that you can label it. Okay? Don't let that frustrate you. And then we see it is God who works the effects. There are a variety of effects, but it's the same God who works all things and all persons. So you see, the Spirit's giving you the gift. The Lord's opening the door for a path for ministry, and God is bringing the effects. Now, let me ask you a question. Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? The Trinity does. You know what? You just got caught up in the Spirit and being moved along and being used by God, you see. And God gets the glory. Spiritual gifts are divine marks of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to really understand this morning. When we understand that when it comes to the body of Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the gift. You do not pick your gift. And so listen to me, ladies. There is no room whatsoever for jealousy in the body of Christ. Do you hear me? Jealousy will kill a body. It is an ugly thing, and there is no room for jealousy. And you see, God's getting all the glory. God's getting all the glory. We don't want to get in our flesh and take the glory for ourselves. No, it's all of Him. And let me say this, there's no room for competition. You see, I hope God raises up 15 other teachers, 15 other servants, 15 other leaders. But God has a way of knitting the body together, and there's no room for competition. We need to learn to understand where we fit in the body and what it is the Spirit wants to do through us, and then we just need to step out and do it with all of our might. Sharpen our skills. Be excellent in your serving. And then I need to appreciate those who do different things than I do. And I just want to take my gift and I want to use it to serve you. And you want to use your gift to serve me. And we do it in love. Now let's go to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then in verse 8, he's going to quote Psalm 68:18. Let's look at it. Therefore, Paul says, when he ascended, Jesus, on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, that verse is picturing God, the Lord, like a conquering hero. And back then, when a king conquered, he would get on his horse, his white horse, and he would ascend the hill of victory. And this is the picture here, that Christ was the victor on the cross. And he's ascending, and he's got the spoils of the victory with him. And all of the captives are with him. And what the king would do is he would give gifts out as he was victorious. And when Jesus died on the cross, this is such a deep part of Scripture, and I don't have time to teach it to you thoroughly. But let me just give you the bottom line here. When Jesus died on the cross, he actually entered a battle with Satan and his demons, and he won the battle. And this is picturing him as the victorious king. And he's coming with all the captives and all the spoils to give. And that is the thing that has given him the right to give you a spiritual gift. You say, well, I just don't like my gift. Oh, wait. Every gift is important. It cost Christ everything to give you your spiritual gift. So appreciate your gift. Now, he's going to explain it a little further in verses 9 and 10, which are some parentheses, and we're not even going to go there because that would take me a long time to teach it to you. And then if you come to verses 11, 12, he tells us the gifts that he gave to the church. Let's see what they are. Look at it with me, verse 11 and 12. And he, Jesus, gave some as apostles. Ooh, we owe so much to the apostles. I just love Paul. I spend all of my time with Paul. He's given us all of the New Testament, just about. What a gift they were. Peter, James, oh my goodness. He gave some as apostles, look, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. Now, Lord, why did you give these gifted men apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers? He gave gifts to the body. He gave us these gifted men. And why did he give them? Look at it with me. You will see. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And there it is, ladies. We're to go to our gifted men who are equipping us. And it's the body that's to do the work, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. You see, gifted people in your body are so key to us coming to maturity and being able to be useful and to have a powerful witness. I want that for our church. These gifted men come and they perfect the saints. And the saints are the one that do the work. And when the church is equipped and mature, let me just tell you what the results are. They are dynamic, and we're going to put these on our handout. First of all, when we're mature, when we're equipped, guess what happens? Number one, unity. Unity. I thank God for the unity in our body here in Brookhaven. Can I tell you something? It was not always this way. I've been here 40 years. I remember a time when our body was fractured. And it was a painful time. And we were losing people, and nobody wanted to come to our church. And I don't blame them. Why do you want to go to a fractured, contentious, competitive church? But I don't sense that now. God's done a work in our body. I feel unity in our church. Number two. Here's another result. When we become mature through the gifted people that God puts in our body. Number two, a deep knowledge of the Son of God. A deep knowledge. You grow in your knowledge of who Jesus is. Number three, Christ-likeness. We grow into the very image of Christ. What a beautiful thing for us. And number four, we become knowledgeable of doctrine. We learn what the Bible says, and then we know how to walk. We know how to obey our God. And number five, evangelism. Our message becomes powerful. Now let's jump to 1 Peter 4 and look at verse 10. This is what Peter says. As each one has received a special gift. Once again, how many in the body get the gift? You tell me. Everyone, each one. If you have the Spirit, you're gifted. So he says, as each one has received a special gift, well, Teresa, I've got one. What am I supposed to do with it? Well, look here. It tells us what we're to do. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so we all have our own unique giftings that the Holy Spirit equips us with, and we minister in a unique way, and it results in a unique effect. And if you add to that, we each have our own physical unique capabilities, our own backgrounds, our own training, our own different unique opportunities, our own environments that we've come from and that we live in, our own influences, our own unique personalities. And you just put all of that together with the Holy Spirit, and you are just a spiritual snowflake. There's no one like you. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit is a painter. He's got a palette, and he's got all of these major areas, and he's taking some of this and some of that and some of that. He's making you, and you are a spiritual snowflake. No one like you. Now notice, go back to the verse. As each one has received a special gift. Let's write this on our handout. Let's make sure we get this fact this morning. Spiritual gifts are received. They are not pursued. They're received. And then he says, employ it in serving one another as a good steward. So let's write this down. We then are responsible for managing our gifts. We've got to be a steward. That's what stewardship is. And see, God's given us a gift to manage. You don't own the gift. You're just a steward of that gift. And you're under obligation to use that gift. And you will answer to God for the stewardship of your gift. You'll stand before Him. And you'll say, this is what I did with what you gave me. Now notice also in the verse, stewards of what? Well, there He calls the gift the manifold grace of God. It's a grace gift. And grace means undeserved. Whatever God has done in your life, I just think about myself. I just love being your teacher, and I just can't believe God lets me do this. If you just only knew where I came from. I'm the most unlikely person to teach the Bible. And yet, God has put me here. And I love it. But it was all by grace. And that word means multicolor. You see, there's just so much diversity in the body of Christ. So Peter says, you received it, now go out and use it. But here's a very sad reality. You can be saved and never know what your gift is and never use it. You never tap into your spiritual giftings. And so let's think about this morning. Teresa, how can I know my gift? I want to know it. Do you feel that way this morning as we're studying? Are you kind of hungry to know it? Well, let's go to Romans 12, because that is just the most amazing chapter in the Bible. And Paul has just completed, when you get to chapter 12, 11 chapters of thrilling doctrine. Romans is the most doctrinal book in the Bible. He covers every major doctrine. And by the time you get to chapter 12, he says, Therefore, because of everything I've told you and I've taught you in the first 11 chapters, now I'm going to tell you what you need to do in light of everything God has done for you in Christ. What is it God wants of us? Well, look at it in verse 1. I urge you, brethren and sistren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Teresa, what is worship? Well, it's going to church at 11 o'clock, and it's sitting there 45 minutes. Then go eat your lunch. You've been to worship, right? Wrong. Here's worship. It's just reasonable. It just makes sense. Listen, because of everything God has done for me in Christ, what is my response going to be? Well, I am going to take my body. This is me living in my body on earth. And I'm going to present it to God. But look, he wants it to be holy. He doesn't want me to take my body and be immoral and be reading trashy things and watching trashy things and thinking trashy things. No. Teresa, you come to me holy. And you present yourself to me. Just climb up on the altar. It's picturing a voluntary sacrifice. This was a sacrifice in the Old Testament mentioned here that a person, just because of gratitude, because of all God had done for them, they would take their finest animal, they would bring it to the priest, and they'd say, God, I love you so much. I want to give you my very best. Take this animal, and this animal represents me. And that was a very sacred animal. And see, most sacrifices, the priest could take part of the meat, but not this one. The whole thing was given to God. And that's the picture. Because of everything God's done for you in Christ, you say, God, just take all of me. I'm going to climb up on the altar. I'm going to go through Romans 12:1. I'm going to give you everything that I am. You do with me whatever you want. That's what I do with my body. But look at verse 2. I've got to do something with my mind. And do not be conformed to this world, Paul says. Can I just tell you, it's so hard not to be conformed to the world. The world is screaming at us all the time, telling us what to wear, telling us what to eat, telling us how to live, telling us everything. It's trying to press us into its mold. And Paul says, no, you take your body, give it to God, and then you take your mind and don't be conformed to the world, but look, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Look, get your mind transformed. Learn to think biblically. Get it immersed in the Word of God. And then don't think too highly of yourself. But look, don't think too lowly either. You've got to learn to think rightly. You've got to learn to think biblically. What does the Bible say about me? What does the Bible say who I am in Christ? And then after that, look at the next verse. And now he's going to use that unique metaphor that's only used in the New Testament to describe the church, a body. Look at verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then he goes on in the verses that follows, and he gives us a list of those gifts. Now here's the progression. See it with me. Doctrine, 11 chapters. Learn doctrine. What's your response? God, take all of me. I'm so grateful for everything you've done for me in Christ. Take my body. I'm presenting it to you. It's a voluntary sacrifice. You know what? You can live your whole Christian life and never give God this sacrifice. It's a voluntary sacrifice. And you can still go to heaven. But you will not be of any use. And then I have to take my mind and have it transformed by the Word of God. I've got to learn to think biblically. And then after that, the spiritual gift just opens up. Do you see the progression? Now, I just want to say, maybe you don't know your spiritual gift because you've never walked through Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Think about that this week. Here's some other ways to know your gift. Let's just read through them together. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Know you are gifted. Pray for nothing. Seek nothing. And then examine your heart's desire. What do you desire to do? And then, this is important, seek confirmation. Ask other people, do y'all think I'm a teacher? And don't force the issue. If everyone keeps telling you that's not your gift, believe them. Oh, I have the gift of leadership, but no one ever follows me. Well, guess what? You probably don't have that gift. Because if you have the gift, people will naturally follow you. And number 7, look for the blessing of God. Number 8, when you see what it is, start serving with your whole heart. And then number 9, cultivate it. Now let's look at the actual gifts real quickly. I'm running out of time. We'll see how many we can get. First of all, there are 3 categories of spiritual gifts. Let's write this down. There are the speaking gifts. Write that down. There are the serving gifts. And then there are the temporary sign gifts. Sign. S-I-G-N. All right, let's look at the first gift. Now, I've just taken the list that comes out of Romans 12. By the way, you know, I don't believe there's any concrete list. You find one list in Romans 12. You find a different list in 1 Corinthians 12. And, you know, there's a little lap over, but it's almost as if Paul is saying there's not one concrete list. You've got to have either your this. It's not a rigid thing, okay? So here's the first one I want us to look at, prophecy. And I'm just pulling these out now out of Romans chapter 12. And so the prophet proclaims the truth. That word prophecy just means to speak before an audience, to be a public speaker, to proclaim. So what is this gift, Teresa? Well, I think Paul gives us the best definition in 1 Corinthians 14:3. Look on your handout. And he says there, one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. Now, this is the gift that Paul told the Corinthians. They needed to desire this gift. Not that they were trying to seek it on their own, but they needed someone in their church to have this gift. We do too. Thank goodness Brother Greg is a prophet. He's a gifted person. And it's a gift that's meant to proclaim, and it builds up the body. Now look, it is a gift that speaks to Christians, building us up, leading us, guiding us, but it's also a gift to unbelievers. When unbelievers entered in and they sit under a prophet, they become convicted that they need to be born again, you see. And so this is a very important gift in the body. Here's number 2, teaching. A teacher imparts the truth. Let's get a definition. This is the Spirit-given ability to pass on truth to someone else so that they receive it and they're able to implement it in their lives. This person teaches the Bible. This person can teach one-on-one, a mother to a son. This person can teach one on 5,000. This gift takes time. This gift takes a love for spending hours in the Word of God. And James 3:1 says this, "Let not many of you become teachers." This is a very scary verse for me. "Knowing that as such, we will incur a stricter judgment." You say, boy, I better live what I'm teaching, because if I don't, I'm going to get worse judgment. So for me to stand up here and tell you to present yourself a living sacrifice, boy, I better be presenting myself a living sacrifice. Here's third gift, exhortation. This is the gift. This is such a cool gift. It's the gift of strengthening people. And people who have this gift are able to help other people. They give advice. They're encouragers. They provide comfort. They strengthen people who need it. And this person has the ability just to walk alongside a person who has a problem and can build them up and help them bear their burden. But they're also kind of like a bulldog, kind of like a bulldozer. And I kind of really think this is my gift, more so than a teacher. Because, I want you to grow so badly. And it's like I can see where we could be if our class was red hot for God and really into the Word and really getting it and understanding our spiritual gifts. And I just want to push you to get there. They're bulldozers. They're bulldogs. They're zealous. They're hot all the time. They're over-enthusiastic. He said, Teresa, take a chill pill. And they're committed to spiritual growth. And they're able to give hope to people for solutions. And they're calling other people to live according to God's word. Here's a fourth one, giving. Now, let me say this. Every one of us, we're all called to give. You can say, I can't tell. That's just not my spiritual gift. No. We're all called to give. But there are some who have this Spirit-given ability, and they're super givers. I mean, you know what? They don't have thought for themselves. They hear about a need, and their heart wants to give. Some of you may have this gift. I told you about a need last week with Sam and Jesse. They needed $7,000. Did some of you just feel in your heart, I've got to give to that need? I want to meet that need. Someone in the body needs something. I want to give it to them. That's the gift of giving. Here's another gift, leadership. This person is the overseer of the church. They're the manager. And guess what it's a picture of in the Greek language? It's a picture of a captain who's at the helm of the ship. And you know what? There's only one person at that wheel guiding that ship. Pilots in those days were wise, wise men. And they could take that ship through a storm and bring it safely to port. And God has put leaders in our church. And they can take you through troubled times and take you safely to port. Two words describe a leader: direction, decision making. That's why I say the leader is the eye of the body, because they see the direction you need to go and they see exactly how to get there, and they can make quick decisions. Because Romans 8 says, if you have that gift, then you need to do it with diligence. And that word means haste, speed, quickly. And they act quickly. And they can keep the church on course with fairness and with wisdom and with efficiency and with humility. They can visualize the final results. They see what it is, what is needed in reaching a task. And I just love this gift in Bill, because a lot of times I'll say, Bill, what do you see? Should I do that? What, he'll say, yeah, you should do it, or no, don't do that. And I trust his judgment. And so many times I'll say to him, now you're just wrong. You're just wrong there. And you know what? He's never wrong. It is the most frustrating thing. Number six, mercy. I love this gift. This person has the Spirit-given ability to sympathize with people who are in misery, who are in hard times. This is just such a beautiful gift of pity, of compassion. It's like the Good Samaritan. He had this gift. And when he came across that stranger who had been beaten up, you know what? He put that man on his own animal, took him to an inn, covered all of the cost. He did it because he had mercy in his heart. He had compassion in his heart. And so it's the ability to sympathize. And if you go to Romans 12, it says, if you have mercy, to do it with cheerfulness. And that's so important. People who have this gift are usually very cheerful. Because if you're going to help somebody who's in misery, you bring cheerfulness into their situation. And then if you go to James 5:13, it says, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing. And many, many times, you will find this true, that a person who has the gift of mercy is a singer. And they're also music ministers. I've known several myself. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Quickly give you the list that we see there. Here's number 7, faith. This is the supernatural capacity to believe God. You know, this kind of person who's got this gift, we all have faith, but this person has a supernatural capacity to believe God. I just read George Mueller's book. He had this gift. And he was this amazing minister of God who did all these amazing things, all by faith. He never let a need be known. He just prayed, and he knew God was going to answer his prayers. And God did the most miraculous things in his ministry. He had the gift of faith. They have this intense ability to believe God for amazing things. They can take the word of God, stand on the promises of God. I've got to quit. Discernment, write that down. I'm just going to briefly abbreviate. That's the watchdog of the church. You know what? We're like sheep, and we're real stupid and dumb, and we'll eat anything, but the person who has the gift of discernment, they alert the church. No, don't follow that teacher. He's false. No, don't believe that doctrine. It's a lie. They recognize what is not true. And then there's the gift of helps or serving. This gift is the hand of the body. It comes right along leadership. Leadership sees what needs to be done, and then the hands all make it happen, you see. It's such a blessing. I believe that's the most common gift in the body. It can be used a million ways. And then there are 4 sign gifts that I want to mention in closing. Write those down. Miracles. That's the number 10. Gifts of healings. That's number 11. 12 is tongues. And 13 is interpretation of tongues. Now, it would take me 5 weeks to teach you about these. But I put some scriptures down, and that's why I say I believe these are the temporary sign gifts. What is a miracle? Well, it's taking a little, few loaves and a few fishes, and it's multiplying them and feeding 1,000 people. It's saying to a storm, peace be still, and the storm just stops. Y'all are looking confused. Oh, they're not on there? Well, don't worry about it.
Number 12 is miracles, 13 healings, and tongues.
Okay, thank you. Okay, they're miracles. Gifts of healing. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. I was doing this late last night, so.
We didn't do 10 and 11.
We did it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I have no idea what 10 was. Just don't worry about it. I probably numbered them wrong.
Look at what it says on 13.
I hope those listening back on the internet are enjoying this. Now, come back to me and let me say one thing. Because I know y'all have a million questions about the miraculous, the gifts of healings and all of that. The gifts of healings is the person has the ability to walk in a room and speak to a person and say, be healed, and they get up and they're healed. Miraculously. They speak to a limb that is not there and suddenly it's there. That's a miracle. Well, Teresa, does God heal today? Of course God heals today. His name is the strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. His name is Jehovah Rapha. His name is the good physician. That's what Jesus said. You have every right as a Christian to go to God and to ask for healing. But do you see the difference in the gifts of healings as in what Jesus and the apostles did and the gift of faith, which is believing God to heal and to restore? Do you see what I'm saying? I know you have 1,000 questions, but I'm out of time. But just suffice it to say, we'll get into that another day. But I want to say this in closing. And there's one more point on your handout, I think, right? You see, here's Paul. He's writing to the Corinthians, and guess what gift they were having the most trouble with? It was the gift of tongues, and it was just a mess. Their whole church was in an uproar about it. And so he spends all of chapter 14 talking about that, all of chapter 12, and sandwiched in between those two is this beautiful chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And this is what he says. If I could speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have love, I become a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, there's another gift, and I know all mysteries, that's the gift. Oh, that's the two gifts I left off. The gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. That's the two I left out. Oh, sorry. I think I left that at home. Mm-hmm. I sure did. Those are two speaking gifts. And let me just say this. The gift of knowledge is like the professor, the one who writes commentaries. They have the ability to take the Word of God and study it in the original language. And the gift of wisdom is the one who can take it and make practical application. He makes a fabulous counselor. And if I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And even if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, that's the gift of giving. And if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So let's end our lesson by saying this. Spiritual gifts are useless if they are not exercised in love. You see, even if you had this most amazing gift and you didn't have love, it would be zero. Okay? So much to say. We went late. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this amazing lesson. I'm sorry we were so rushed. But I pray that you have taken some of these truths and challenged our heart this morning to be women who are on mission for you. God, there's nothing more exciting than being filled with your Spirit, climbing up on that altar, presenting our bodies holy and acceptable to you, taking our minds, having them transformed by your Word, thinking biblically as we're walking in the world, and for you just to express yourself through our lives in the most amazing ways, giving us ministry, giving us effects. God, it's the most fun there is. I pray you'll just give us a taste and a hunger to be women who are on mission for you. And God, you get all the glory. It's all of you and from you. And so we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Sorry I went late.